here.
Joe Bryan missed it to the left again, and the Vikings only lead by two.
Come on!
We got too many men out there.
No.
Can't miss the Vikes game.
Twin City!
Good, Coach Allen. How's everything going over there in the studio today?
I'm confident that we'll be world champions. That's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident of that.
Super Bowl, homeboy.
I feel you.
Kyle goes up to get it, and touchdown! Fourth touchdown reception this year by Kyle Rudolph, and the sixth touchdown passing by Christian Ponder, and Minnesota leads 29-7.
The voice of the Vikings, PA and Charge.
It's a Friday football feast in February. Welcome, Paul Charchi and LeakSafePost.com, and Paul Allen, the master mixer of the Old Soul Cafe montage, is Mr. Joe Nelson. Good morning, and welcome to a Friday football feast featuring Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman in studio for the feast. Mr. Charchi, are you excited?
I'm very excited, Rick, and I don't think I've talked to Rick in 6 months. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about the season in the rearview mirror a little bit and what we've got up our sleeves for free agency.
Was that Rick's choice?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been dodging me. I mean, I know that. I don't blame him.
You're a very intimidating factor.
I really am.
I try to stay clear of that.
I don't blame you. You're probably sedated right now. I understand it's not easy to be in here with me. You know you're going to get the tough questions. It's going to be tricky.
Allen said he'd buy me a coffee if I came in the studio today.
I'd like to start here. As the architect of life-changing dreams, what are you doing at this stage of the equation, Rick?
Right now, just been watching a lot of film. We're getting ready on Monday to start our draft meetings. All our scouts are flying in this weekend, and then we'll start 2 weeks of meetings before we head down to the combine.
Okay. Now, off one of the better drafts in the history of Minnesota Vikings football, constructed by the architect and his staff, Do you feel you have handled prosperity quite well over the last year?
Well, you know, we had success last year. I think we exceeded expectations by the experts in the media, but by no means are we satisfied. And it makes you that much more hungry and more driven to build off what you built last year to get to that ultimate dream. And that ultimate dream is to play in that Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And that's the reason why you're in this business.
Is the worm turning in the NFC North? Is the proverbial worm turning in the NFC North? How much have you cut into the margin of the disdain that is the green and gold?
Well, every year is different. So you go back in and we get ready for next year, and we're starting back from ground zero. And we're going to have to build this roster. We're going to have to make some changes that are going to be coming up. We're going to have to add some young talent. Mm-hmm. And you start over from day one, going through your OTAs and minicamp, start at the training camp, and then it's a whole new season.
At this time last year, Rick, you were talking about the advantage that the Senior Bowl gave you, that it gave you, you know, you and your staff got a lot of hands-on time with a lot of players. You don't, you know, when you're a 10-win team, you don't get that advantage this year.
I tried. I called the league and said we can do it again, but they elected not to give us that opportunity again. It was a great, great advantage to have that opportunity last year, but when we went down to the Senior Bowl this year, we have our whole coaching staff there. We have all our scouts there. We were able to get in front of all those kids down there and interview them and do our normal process. But it's not the same as having a week with them in the meeting rooms and actually coaching them on the field. So what we'll do is this spring we'll have our coaches go out a lot to these workouts, these individual workouts, and put their hands on these kids and try to coach them and teach them and get a gut feel for what these kids are like to actually coach.
Does you gain a sense of coachability with a player when you do something like the Senior Bowl that you just can't get when you do interviews at the Combine and some other things?
Sure, because you're hands-on and they're actually teaching technique or a scheme thing, or this is what we want you to do, and you see how they respond, how quickly they pick it up. Is this guy going to take reps to learn that, or is this guy going to be able to pick it up relatively quickly? So that's what we try to accomplish when we're out there in the spring at these workouts.
So you're coming off the best draft probably in Viking history. Was there a guy or two that ended up on this roster through the draft last year because of the hands-on time that you had at the Senior Bowl?
You know, I think the biggest one would be Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, we moved up in the first round because of the strong feelings we had of him coming out of the Senior Bowl. I know that was a huge need for us last year to get a difference maker at that position. And Harrison fit that bill. And we had a real good feel about that coming out of the Senior Bowl. And then, you know, we didn't talk to him much after that. We were pretty
intentionally.
Well, yeah, we pretty much set and understood where he was. And, you know, there was an opportunity that presented itself on draft day to move back into the first round because I didn't think he was going to last to our pick in the second round, and just had a sneaking suspicion that if we didn't make that move, he probably wouldn't have been there.
When you say an opportunity presented itself, I imagine you placed that phone call on draft day to go
make that move,
right? I mean, it wasn't like, you know,
no.
I don't remember who you traded with.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay, all right.
But no, we were very aggressive in that last hour of that draft you know, trying to get a trade partner, and Baltimore ended up working out.
And you gave up I don't remember the details anymore. You gave up some of the picks that you got out of the Cleveland deal to make that move up, right? Or am I
we had so many picks last year, and so that gives you an opportunity to be able to move up and down in the draft. In fact, this year we have 9 picks heading into this draft, and a lot of those were because of the extra picks. We took a 5th-round pick and made it into a 4th this year with Detroit, which is the 5th overall pick in the 4th round, which
That's nice.
A very valuable pick.
Yeah.
We also had a, you know, trade, I think, with Tennessee that took a 7th and made it into a 6th.
Jeez.
And we did use that 6th to flop with Arizona to get A.J. Jefferson this year, but we still have our original 6. So
it's real life fantasy football. How intrigued are you?
I know. I mean, you know, they look, you know, for fantasy guys like me, this is all dream job stuff. So, you know, you'll have to just bear with me. So, but
football feast.
Shortly after the draft, you were in studio here, and we talked about Blair Walsh. And we at the time, we said this feels like a bit of a head scratcher because you looked at how he had done the previous year, and it had, you know, the accuracy had been all wrong, and we didn't know even for sure if he'd be drafted. Was he a guy that you could have gotten as an undrafted free agent? Well, now he goes out and has the best, you know, one of the best seasons of any kicker in the history of the NFL, let alone a rookie. So feel free to, you know, this is your chance, and it doesn't make you an ass to say, you know what, there were a lot of doubters, but we got Blair Walsh absolutely right.
No, and we really try to hone in on what we believe. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to Mike Prefer, our teams coach, who went out and worked all these kickers out. And I talked to Mike and said that, you know, go out there. Blair Walsh has an extremely strong leg. We saw that at the Combine. We knew we wanted to upgrade, especially on our kickoffs, and that was no doubt he would do that for us. But there was a big question on the accuracy. But if you looked what he did his junior and sophomore year, he was very accurate. So as Mike went out there and worked him out, he came back and said, I know I can tweak some of the things that he's doing where we can get him back on track to where he was earlier in his career.
So it was a technique issue with Blair Walsh.
Yeah, that's all it was.
And so, you know, credit your staff for saying, all right, he's doing, you know, these 2 or 3 things wrong in his, in, you know, whatever it is, his setup, his approach or whatever. If we fix those, we think we've got a really good kicker.
Yeah, and it's always, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you go off your gut instinct and you're betting that it's going to come through. But sometimes it's a little bit of luck, too, you know. But there's so much work behind it that goes into it, and to try to make a subjective decision, but try to make it as objective as possible by all the research we do with the medical, the psychological profiling we do, the interview process. There's so much else that gets added into the equation when you make those decisions besides just what you're seeing and grading on tape.
You can't know that Blair Walsh is going to have ice in his veins in week one, that he's going to kick two, you know, mammoth kicks that are going to be game-changing kicks, and that in several instances over the course of the season, the game's really on his shoulders, and that he's going to make you know, every one of those just absolutely clutch kicks. You can't know that, right?
You get an indication on just what his profile was from the personality test and, mm-hmm. and from the psychological profiling. So he does thrive under pressure, and he has thrived under pressure earlier in his career. And that's why when we went back and looked at his senior tape, it wasn't that he couldn't handle pressure.
Yeah.
It was more of a technical issue than a psychological issue.
Why are you being so kind?
Well, this is just the setup.
Well, no, it has to be because you were so frustrated that we went 4-1 in December, thus messing up better draft position for the 2013 draft.
That is not true. Now, a year ago, I was frustrated with the Washington win because I wanted RG3. That is true.
Rick, explain to Paul Charchian why winning the Washington Redskins game needed to happen.
Because you never want to go into a game and try to intentionally lose a game. We get paid to go out and win games on Sunday. And to win that Washington game was a huge, you know, it didn't seem big, but for our confidence, for our team and some of the young guys, it was a huge win for us.
Yeah, look, I get that nobody ever goes out to lose. And that's one of the great things about football is every game counts. I understand that. But even then, we knew that there were two unbelievable quarterback prospects. And the difference between a two-win season and a three-win season doesn't feel that big. The difference between an 8-win season and a 9-win season is really, really big. 2-3, it's a bad season either way. So anyway, but that's then. This is now. I'm going to go back to special teams. You've brought in another punter, TJ Conley.
Yep.
Is going into training camp. Is this guy expected to challenge Chris Clouie? Is this an open competition?
It's just like any other position. We're right now gathering as many players as we can. We have to fill out a 90-man roster. Mm-hmm. So as we go through this process from now all the way up till we get to training camp, we're going to go out there and try to find the best players available regardless of position and try to create the best competition we can. The only guy that's probably not going to get a lot of competition is number 28.
All right, so the plan, it sounds like we'll have two punters in camp, which isn't unusual anyway.
No.
And this is probably our guy. Chris is coming off of minor knee surgery, but
yeah.
By then should be fine.
Yeah. No, we, I'm just speaking of, our guys that all had surgeries, we expect them all to be healthy and ready to go, most of them all by OTAs and for sure by training camp.
Does Chris's off-field interest in any way bug you? Or is it something that you would bring up to him when he... You know, when he vents on politics and he has the band and everything.
I had talks with Chris, as Leslie Frazier has had talks with Chris. And, we're never going to, stifle a player from expressing his opinion as long as it's not affecting our football team, as long as it's not affecting his performance on the field.
Okay, but the fact that you had to talk, you had a discussion with him, Leslie had a discussion with him, his position coach had some words in the media. That tells me that there is some feeling that
we just wanted to make sure that, hey, we're in the football season. Let's focus on what we have to do, task at hand, and Chris did that.
Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman is in studio. We'll talk about Adrian Peterson's MVP-type season, plus get into what's next for Christian Ponder, plus more off-season chatter about the Minnesota Vikings when 9 to noon continues.
Face now to KFAN.com, and you'll have a chance to win 4 tickets to Rupeville at XL Energy Center for an upcoming Minnesota Wild home game. Winners will also receive 4 limited edition Rupeville t-shirts to be worn at the game. Details and a chance to submit that picture now at KFAN.com. Just type in the keyword Rupeville.
It's always great to be on the show with Paul Allen.
It's 9:20, and Paul Charchian is here. It's a Friday football feast featuring Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. He's in studio. His center, John Sullivan, will wobble into the studio about 45 minutes from now. And then on that wild debacle last night, analyzing the carnage, will be Tom Chorsky in studio at 10:55.
Mm.
Also, the number one college hockey team in the country, the Golden Gophers, take on the number one team in the WCHA, the St. Cloud State University Huskies. And former Husky stud Mark Parrish will be on the radio show at some point in the final hour. Mr. Spielman, is it fair to say that you have a general idea at this moment exactly what's going to happen with the 23rd overall pick in the draft?
To be honest with you, no clue right now.
Really?
It's too early in the process. There's too many things that are going to come to fruition as far as once we get into the combine, once we get all the medical reports back, once
right.
we get all the psychological reports back, once we get the height, weight, speeds, everything that we need to gather. So right now, you know, as you sit there, you can kind of, I've got a pretty good idea of who may be down there.
Yep.
In the lower first round and who potentially we'll be looking at. But there's so much work ahead between now and draft time that those things will shift around.
Dwight sends an email to the AT&T inbox at booth@KFAN.com. Rick, what one position is the Vikings' biggest focus this offseason?
Oh, you know, we're looking at all the positions, and any time we can add a player that we think has value that can help us win ball games, we're definitely going to look at that. I know a lot of people have talked about the receiver position and where we're going to go with the receiver position. You know, we want to try to get some playmakers outside to help Christian at the receiver position. We'll be looking at but there's no one particular position that we really just say, hey, this is all we're going to address. We're always looking at the big picture and how we can dress all the positions and make and create competition at every position, because I think eventually that will make you a better football team.
On the radio, I champion the cause of Jerome Simpson, and it's not like Jerome is a number one receiver, but maybe is a secondary type receiver for you. And I realize he did not meet expectations last year, but I believe he did not meet expectations due to physical limitations with an injury that he incurred early in the season. So I personally hope you guys try again with Jerome. Will you?
We're going to look at all our unrestricted free agents, and that's going to be our main focus, is trying to keep our own guys, because we have a lot of young, talented players that are coming up. That's our number one priority on who we can keep and keep the door open for all those guys to potentially return. Jerome is in that category, and Jerome, you know, had a great preseason. When he came off the suspension, had a very good Detroit game. You saw some of the playmaking ability that he was going to bring. And then going into the Tennessee game, when he suffered that back and nerve damage through his leg,
yeah,
that affected him for the rest of the year. So I think if we're able to sign Jerome back, that he does have potential to be a pretty good player for us.
Cool.
And, you know, for better or worse, the injury means there's probably not going to be a big market for him out there. If you want to bring him back, you know, I imagine you'll be able to do so at team-friendly cost.
Well, you never know from the market standpoint and what's out there.
Well, I don't
It'll
think
be interesting to see, yeah, though, this market. You know, last year, you know, the big guys jumped out and people paid those guys. Mm-hmm. But then after that first wave and that first week of free agency, then guys are looking for jobs. It seems, yeah, like now with the salary cap just staying pretty much flat, mm-hmm, that the blue chip players may get paid. But then all of a sudden, it really dries up from a financial standpoint, you know,
yeah,
what teams are willing to pay. My philosophy has always been, we're going to try to build this team through the draft. We're going to try to keep our own because we develop our own. They understand our culture, what we're trying to accomplish, and then sprinkle in some UFAs here and there. But I really, you know, unless there's something exceptional to the rule, that really don't believe in going out and spending a lot of big money on free agents.
It is interesting to note that over the last couple of years, Eagles bring in Nnamdi Asomugha, mm-hmm, trade for Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, pay Michael Vick, bring in D'Amico, mm-hmm, Ryans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers spend the most money in the history of free agency with Vincent Jackson, Eric Wright, Carl Nix.
Yeah.
Neither team has made the playoffs since pumping the steroids into the blood of the system, where the true lifeblood seems from my standpoint to be the draft. Would you agree with that approach? When you look, the draft is kind of the blood of the team, and the free agency is like you're pumping something into it to enhance it.
Yeah, last year we waited till the second wave came through, and then we signed a lot of guys to one-year deals. And when you take that philosophy, because that happens before the draft, and then you go out, and I knew we had 10 picks last year.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the draft, we have 9 going this year. Hopefully we're going to have maybe 10 or 11 by the time today's done. Who knows what's going to happen? But then you
can... Because the compensatory picks get announced today? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Oh, you're
making a trade. I'm just talking about potential trades or things that could happen.
God,
or,
you love trading.
All right.
Or moving up and down in the draft.
You love trading, don't you?
I love draft day trading.
Love the adrenaline. I mean, again, this is the identity of fantasy football. Paul Charchi and LeagueSafePost.com. This is real life, fresh meat trading for profit day of draft. Can you imagine that adrenaline rush?
No, I mean, you know, listen.
But that's what the NFL is. The only time you see significant trading is actually on draft day, when you're maneuvering, trying to move up to get a player, trying to move back to accumulate more picks. So that's basically our day, or that 3-day period, where you see the most trades in the NFL.
The one signing last year, the one big signing this team had was John Carlson.
Yep.
And that, you know, I think by any measure did not work out this year. I think we all like John Carlson as a person. And Sullivan, you know, I think they spoon. However, it clearly last year didn't work out. So I imagine you've got a tough decision to make on whether or not you want to proceed with a very significant contract for him on the basis of what you think he can do versus the production that you got last year and what you might get next year.
The game plan going into last year when we did sign John Carlson was that we were going to be a predominant two tight end type offense.
Yeah.
And to have a Kyle Rudolph and a John Carlson. And then John got hurt during training camp, missed most of all, or not all of the off season.
Yeah.
And then came in and started to catch up later towards the season. And you've seen some of the things he could do in the St. Louis game. How our offense evolved, remember Adrian Peterson at this time, no one knew what Adrian Peterson was going to be. But our offense, as you saw it evolved during the season, we became more of a Jerome Felton, who was kind of a one-year guy that we signed as an unrestricted free agent, that all of a sudden had a significant role in our offense. And then when you find out Adrian Peterson, and we kind of knew this, that is more productive when he has a blocker in front of him. That kind of got us away from that two tight end offense and more into a standard offense.
See, there was a time back in 2007, 2008, Adrian told Pete Bursich publicly he did not prefer running behind a fullback. So that's not the case anymore? I mean, he's better behind a fullback?
If you break it down statistically, his runs and his most productive runs, I think it's almost a 2 or 3 yard difference in average.
Interesting.
Is with a fullback in front of him.
It's crazy, the difference. Now you got to worry about getting Felton. But before we go on to Felton, which I think is a good talker as well, and you can talk about your own guys. I know you can't talk about anybody else's guys yet.
Can't you?
No.
You can't talk about unrestricted free agents?
Well, if they're UFA, but most guys aren't UFAs. I mean, Titus Young is. We can talk about Titus Young all we want.
But what about the guy on the other side of the river who practically is lobbying to play for your team? You don't know who I'm talking about?
No. No, I don't know any unrestricted free agent names. I know there's some guys out there.
Paul, was a player at the end of the season.
They are not technically free until the new league year begins.
There was a player at the end of the season who
asked Adrian Peterson to set the record on his team.
We're heading into our final regular season game, and I'm like, did he just root for Adrian to break Eric Dickerson's record against his team? So then we just like shoved it under the rug. Then the next week he was asked about an outdoor playoff game, and he said, "Nah, man, I hate the cold. I'd rather play indoors." And I'm like, could you possibly lobby any more to play here? But anyway, go ahead, Paul.
All right, so let's just go back to Carlson for a minute. You got 8 catches on him, and you paid him like $8 million or something crazy last year.
God.
So obviously the return wasn't there. I don't know entirely how the structure works for this coming year, but I believe that you'll have to take a $4 million cap hit if you release him.
You know, John, we still have John in our plans, and he, with our tight end depth, with the emergence of Kyle Rudolph and him becoming, last year was his first year as a starter. He's only a second year player.
Yes. He's foundational for this team.
And what Red Ellison did for us last year is invaluable.
Right.
A guy that, you guys kind of ripped on because he didn't think he should have been drafted.
No, I don't remember
ripped
that.
On him.
No, I don't think
I'm
that.
I know he's a very humble person, but what what Rhett did for us, not only from playing some fullback, playing some tight end, what he did on special teams was the replacement that we were kind of looking for.
For
Kleinsasser.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't think we ripped that.
No, I know we didn't.
I don't think we did. Well, we didn't. Other people might have. Back to Carlson again.
Yes.
So now that we've established there's some good depth at the position, doesn't it make it all the more reasonable to think that John either needs to rework his deal or that you might just get out of this contract altogether?
No, I'm not going to sit here and talk about our internal business. I just know John is a very good football player, and there is a role on his team.
All right. Let's talk about another player that everybody's got a lot of questions about. In fact, now my Twitter account's filled with people demanding that I ask you about Percy Harvin and his situation. So let's dive in. The reason that there's a lot of reasons that people are curious about his plans for the future, because when he got hurt with the high ankle sprain, traditionally, we know that injury tends to be a 4 or 5 week injury as a general rule. And he got let go, shortly after midseason.
We didn't let him go.
I'm sorry. Let me be clear. He went on IR midseason, which felt very premature at the time. Because he was still only like 2 weeks into what felt like a, what is usually a 4 or 5 week injury.
No, it was a lot longer. It was a four-week period or five-week period before we did place him on IR.
Okay.
It wasn't 2 weeks after the Seattle game.
How long? Okay, there were still plenty of games left, though, right? And you can help. I'm glad you're helping me with the timeline. So you put him on IR, what, week 12?
Yeah, I've got to go back. I know something it was towards the end of the season.
Something in that ballpark. Still plenty of time left. You still had a chance to make the playoffs, and so he could have come back for the playoffs even. And so you add that with... So you add what felt like a curiously early decision to put him on IR with some of the... With things like, you know, TV cameras catching him, barking with coaches, you know, some nebulous reports of, you know, things that may or may not have happened inside of Winter Park. And it feels like Percy's status with the team is very much up in the air.
Percy is a very good football player. I think the issue was we weren't seeing the progress we needed to see. And when we made that decision to put Percy on IR, it was for his benefit down the road. He's still a young player. Mm-hmm. We felt we didn't want to put him out there to further any damage or risk of him potentially having long-term issues with his ankle. So we did it. What was best for Percy Harvin at the time. I know Percy was very frustrated from the fact that his ankle wasn't coming around as quickly as he had hoped as well.
Yeah.
I know our medical staff was working extremely hard, and I have to say our medical staff, to me, is the best in the NFL.
Well,
and
the Adrian Peterson example.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate to have Eric Sugarman and our doctors and everybody that work on it. But Percy, it was a frustrating time for everybody just because of the injury, nothing else.
Can we just take, was contract any part, is there any ongoing issues, no discussion on contract, that part is not a factor here?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say what's going to happen during this offseason, because
yes,
he is going into the last year of his contract.
Yes.
So, but right now, where we're at, Percy Harvin is a member of this football team, and he is a very good football player. We don't like to get rid of good football players.
So you want him to be on the team next year?
We love Percy Harvin as a football player. Everybody sees what he does for our football team.
Does that say you do not love him in some other aspect?
Yes.
Well, I'm not trying to put
Percy
Harvin
is
a
blue-chip player.
He's
a game changer. In fact, he was, you know, on track to be a potential MVP.
Yes, right?
And we were very fortunate to have two players and we had one that did win the MVP award. So we're very, very fortunate to have two players of that caliber on our football team.
What's next for Christian Ponder, and what about the NFL draft? Another segment with Vikings general manager Rick Spielman on your home for Vikings football, FM 100.3, The Fan. And the beat goes on in your home for Vikings football, specifically the 9 to noon production. Paul Allen, Paul Charchian, and Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. By the way, Paul Charchian and yours truly, of course, with Rick Spielman and his staff, will be at the Indianapolis Scouting Combine 3 weeks from now. We will be doing a couple of radio shows per usual for a third consecutive year from Lucas Oil Stadium. And that will be a Thursday and Friday football feast for your listening pleasure. Christian Ponder is one of seven Vikings quarterbacks to ever win 10 games in a season. The others would be Fran Tarkenton, who did it three times, Joe Capp, Quozo, Cunningham, Culpepper, Brett Favre in 2009, and Christian last year. What's next for Christian Ponder, Mr. Spielman?
Very excited about Christian, especially what we've seen at the end of the season and how he responded out of his slump or when he wasn't playing very well. But for him to rally and to have us go on and win two big games on the road, to win four, to get us into the playoffs, was a big confidence builder, I think, for our team and for Christian going forward. He's only a second-year quarterback, you have to remember. When you look at the history of a lot of these quarterbacks that have came through from the Drew Breeses and the Eli Mannings and those guys who are very successful quarterbacks in the league now, it is a process. And we expect where Christian ended up at the end of this season and going into next year, we're going to see another big, significant jump in Christian Ponder.
As the learning curve goes with the quarterback, are you hoping the bottom was the early third quarter interception to Morgan Burnett at Green Bay? Was that the bottom because it all was up from there?
Yeah, but you know, you're going to go ups and downs with any quarterback. As you go through this league and you see every week, you know, even some of the great quarterbacks will have a struggle here and there. So they're not going to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards and 22 touchdowns and have a quarterback rating of 2,000 every week. But that's why you have to have playmakers around that quarterback, why you have to have a running game, why you have to have good defense, because if whatever reason a quarterback is struggling for that particular week, you have all those other positions in place. You have a good defense. You have a good running game. You're very good on special teams. It can help you win ball games if your quarterback is not on cue that week.
Into the offseason, Christian absolutely is the starting quarterback.
No question about that.
Into the camps, into the training camp and everything.
Christian Quander is our quarterback.
So if you draft a quarterback anywhere in the draft or bring in any form of free agent.
Christian Ponder is our quarterback.
Okay, now with Christian and the downfield passing, specifically from 20 yards and beyond, some absurdly low attempt stats and or completion stats. What was that, mostly on him, receivers, or something else?
I think it was a combination of everything. I know Christian has worked extremely hard on working on some of his downfield accuracy. We have to get some playmakers that can go up for the ball and take the ball away from DBs down the field. But you've seen some great throws of Christian making plays downfield, a couple that he hit for Jarius Wright once Jarius got behind that secondary right on the money. That throw in the that last drive in the Green Bay game to hit Jenkins on the sideline there to step up in the pocket, do that. Those are signs that you're saying, yeah, this kid's got a chance to be a pretty good quarterback in this league.
There's no point in looking through the free agency, the quarterbacks available in free agency for a starting quarterback anyway, because there's nobody there.
No.
I mean, literally, Tavares Jackson is the best quarterback out there as a potential starter, and that says plenty. So that means if you want better depth at quarterback than we've got right now with Joe Webb and McLeod Bethel-Thompson, that means you're going to have to look to the draft.
We're going to look to the draft, but we're also going to look through all those quarterbacks that are potential unrestricted free agent that could bring in some potentially veteran help as well. But we'll look at all those avenues.
It's not a good list. It's an ugly list. But let me segue from that into Sage Rosenfels. Now looking back and knowing that you needed a backup quarterback in a playoff game and we got a bad performance from Joe Webb, do you have any regrets on letting Sage Rosenfels go?
No. I mean, it was a decision we had to make during training camp and, you know, going into that Green Bay game. Joe's past performances indicated that he can win games.
In Philadelphia,
what he did in Washington, what he did in the Detroit game, you know, in 2011. So Joe has shown ability to be that quarterback, to come off the bench, to make plays, to get you in a ball game, and he's played very well. He just probably and Joe's probably disappointed as anyone else in the way he played up in Green Bay that night.
You mentioned McLeod Baltazar John Bethel Thompson from Northern California. What's next for him? Is there anything next for him, or does he just have a cool name with he's a pocket guy with a good arm, and he's just the ultimate project?
Well, he progressed through the year. We're very excited about where he's come along, and he showed signs during training camp. We got him out of the UFL. He's got an extremely strong arm. He does have some mobility. You know, he flashed a little bit of some things when he got to play last year, a significant amount of time in the Houston preseason game, made some big time throws that game. So he'll be a guy as we come in, just like all the people we're going to bring in, will be monitored very closely and see how far he can come along from where he was last year.
Could he be your backup?
I don't know.
For that?
You know, we're going to just bring guys in, and that'll, you know, we always have open competition at every position.
Right.
Ozzie Newsome made this point shortly after the Super Bowl. 7 general managers got fired this offseason. All of them had quarterback trouble. And it really show, I think, you know, if I'm Rick Spielman, I'm laying awake over that position. You know, you're heavily invested personally and professionally in the success of Christian Ponder, but also having capable backups and people to press Christian, guys that can come in if Christian, God forbid, you know, suffers a season-ending injury, that we've got capable guys there.
Knock on wood.
Exactly. We don't wish that, obviously.
Right.
But you got to plan for the worst. We just simply can't know about Christian Ponder. Obviously, you've got a lot of confidence.
No, we went through our Vikings personnel meetings with our scouts and our coaches, and we have a game plan kind of laid out on what we need to do this offseason. We'll filter in, you know, our UFA meetings, which are coming up right after the draft. We're filtering in our draft. where we're going to fill those needs or where we're going to create competition. But to me, in this league, you have to have a viable option as a backup quarterback in case your starter goes down, where you don't want to go into a game thinking, well, we don't have a chance because we don't have a backup type quarterback.
Yeah. And I'm sure you won't, even if you did agree, you won't be able to say it, but after the Packer game, I think a lot of people don't feel like that guy's on roster right now, that Joe Webb might not be a guy if you needed to play half a season with your backup, or even a month with your backup, or even one game with your backup, that maybe that guy's not on roster, and that this team needs to be aggressive to find depth and potentially even, ideally, start cultivating somebody who, if Christian just doesn't work out the way we hope he does, that you've got a guy who's ready to, that you can cultivate.
We're going
to
treat the quarterback position just like any other position on our roster. We'll go out and get the best guys we possibly can get to create the most competition to give us the best opportunity to win games.
Hey, there's your stock answer right there.
We'll all be at the combine in a few weeks. With the Mercurial player formerly with LSU coming out, Honey Badger, how do you analyze Tyrann Mathieu?
You know, he's a very talented football player. He didn't play last season. Mm-hmm. He sat out. He'll be a very dissected, if you want to put it in those terms,
yes.
coming
yes.
up at the combine and through the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, he's had some issues, but we're going to have to really dive in and do our homework just like everybody else, I'm sure, in the NFL is going to do to make a determination. But from watching him on tape and what he is as a football player, he's very talented.
So he's not an immediate cross out?
We haven't crossed anyone out yet.
Okay.
It's too early in the process.
It's too early in the process to red dot guys.
But you love, and you and I have talked about this for several years, around combine time, you love getting the interview with guys where you've got some personality things to go after, and you get to go into the interviews and start pressing their buttons.
It's kind of like sitting in this chair when you guys come after
exactly,
me.
Exactly.
But what if Tyrann says, well, I'm just going to give 110% and do the best I can and bring my A game?
I wish I could say I was smart enough to be the sports psychologist guy.
Right.
And we rely on professionals mm-hmm. in that area that can give us some guidance on what they think of each of these players, not only him, but every player that we're bringing in.
Help me with that nice USC receiver, Robert Woods, because when we watched him against the Gophers a couple of years ago or watched him his first couple of years at USC, I mean, he from afar looked like a cinch, top five pick in the NFL draft.
So did his quarterback.
Well, now this Marquise kid rolls in, wins the Biletnikoff Award, I believe, next to him as maybe a freshman or a sophomore. And now, in following stuff online, which obviously you don't do, you do it via film work, it seems like Robert Woods is a second-round type pick from USC. Now, I don't watch a lot of college football, and certainly nobody watches as much as you, but has something happened to his stock off last year? I looked at his stats. His stats are fine, and he was unbelievable 2 years ago.
He's a very good receiver, and USC has a lot of talented players out there. And they just happen to have a young kid that came up and is very talented as well. So he'll be in the mix with everybody else. There's going to be about 6-7 of those guys that people are going to try to sift through with all these juniors coming out, the Pattersons of the world and the Hunters from Tennessee, the Allens from California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be a lot of interesting. They're all kind of right now in those areas, but until we get the 40 times and interviews and all that process done, they'll start kind of weeding ourselves out.
Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman in studio. Paul,
you're going to make your money. You're going to earn your salary, let's say, on your decision with Phil Loadholt. We haven't brought his name up yet, but this is a tricky one. Unrestricted free agent, correct?
Correct.
And, you know, he's been a sometimes dominating run blocker, and sometimes he's got some deficiencies as a pass blocker. There are going to be teams out there. They're going to look at Adrian Peterson's insane numbers from this year and throughout his career and say, boy, you know, we know that running right, the Vikings are awfully good. This is a great run blocker. We'll put up with his pass-blocking liabilities, and we're going to pay him. Some team out there, there are 31 other teams that are going to look at him. A lot of them need right tackles, and somebody's going to pay him, and you're going to have a tough decision.
Did someone talk to you?
I've decided.
Oh, okay.
That this is, I believe he's going to be an expensive player for you to keep. What are your thoughts on what your plans are? And this is one of your players. You can talk about him. Your thoughts on Phil Loadholt?
You know, Phil Loadholt's a good football player for us. And our offensive line, we had a lot of wholesale changes up front, you know, getting Matt Khalil, moving Charlie inside the left guard, and the emergence of Sullivan, who I think is a Pro Bowl center.
As good as they get,
And the development of Brandon Fusco and Phil Loadholt. And our objective is to hopefully keep all those guys together for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Continuity counts a lot on the offensive line, doesn't it?
A huge part of it on the offensive line, because those guys have to work as one unit, and they have to know each other inside and out, and they work together on combination blocks, on picking up stunts and twists when they're in pass pro, passing off. So I think continuity is a big key part to that, and we'd love to keep Phil Loadholt, so we'll try to do everything we can to keep Phil Loadholt, but we also have a lot of guys that we'd like to keep.
Yes, this he's going to. My assumption is he's going to be an expensive one. If he were to, if you're not able to keep him, do you have your next right tackle on roster now?
You know, we've got some young guys. DeMarcus Love.
I was going to mention DeMarcus Love
is a good player. We've got this kid out of Harvard that we picked up last year that was on our practice squad, Kevin Murphy. So we have a lot of good players up front.
I completely disagree. the fact that Rick Spielman just regretted not signing Jeff Saturday last offseason, knowing he was going to be a Pro Bowl center for the Green Bay Packers, with all of the meaningful reps that he gave that team, I'm shocked to hear him say that. And by the way, ambling into the studio now is Minnesota Vikings center John Sullivan.
Not one, but two crutches.
Rick, am I going...
That's impressive, by the way.
Toughen up, Jesus.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Will John or I be admonished for him taking the time to come into studio? It took him 5 minutes to get through that door right there.
Yeah, well, this is going to be something we'll talk offline.
Well, I'm not
going to be a lot of, he's on a rehab table and getting all his treatment and everything.
Yes.
I'm sure this could have been done from the phone.
John, it's your boss.
I know that, and I would be telling him if I were allowed to talk about my injury that I got in early this morning, did all my rehab hypothetically, and I won't confirm or deny if I came in on crutches because I'm not supposed to be talking about that stuff.
Thank you.
Yep.
Crutches?
Exactly.
Is it okay if I take a...
Why don't you take a picture of his knee and put it on Twitter so everybody knows that his knee's hurt.
Okay, but I can't get the picture...
Why do you think I wore long pants?
I can't get the picture of Adrian Peterson's sports hernia to go through on my Twitter. Something's wrong with my phone right now.
If you're taking pictures of sports hernias, then we got other issues to deal with.
That's a dicey picture right there.
Yep.
Is this an opportunity for you to say that indeed what you were saying before John came in that you did not miss on Jeff Saturday in free agency, that you're completely fine with the center that you have? I mean, Jeff made the Pro Bowl, and what a worthy Pro Bowl contributor!
You trying to get me going, Paul?
It's a weekly thing and everything.
I mean, and Rick, really? I mean, knowing that
65
John deserved to go to the Pro Bowl. Don't you think the Vikings just should have paid the bonus?
Yeah. Or half the bonus?
I am interested to hear this answer.
I always love that.
We have to stick to our business principles.
Maybe we can go back to the table for that one.
God, did he get ripped off? That was unbelievable. Then the guy who made it was a backup.
I'm sure that John will be getting his monies here within the next couple of years.
I've got no complaints. I've got no complaints.
John, you conceded on the 9 to Noon production within the last month that after your football career, you would be interested one day in potentially becoming a general manager.
Yeah.
The National Football League.
I think
team.
It's an interesting job. I like a lot what Rick does, combining the business aspect with sports. Obviously, there's a background in scouting. You have to be familiar with personnel, but you also have to make decisions that are they can be short-sighted at times, but you have to be long-sighted as well. You have to know what's best for the future of your program, and to build one of these teams that has long-term stability, it takes a lot of foresight. I think Rick has that. He's done an incredible job so far, and I'm happy to be on this team because I love the direction we're headed in.
Wow.
We'll give him the bonus now.
Just earned it.
That's what I was going for.
You better make sure that when you do get married, you have a very understanding wife and that your kids know daddy is out at work.
That's right.
Would you spend a lot of money in free agency?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. I like the young players we have. Frankly, if we draft again in 2013 like we did in 2012, there's no reason to spend money in free agency. What I'm really interested is how many Notre Dame guys are we going to get in this year's draft? Because, we had two last year. We've got five right now.
Yeah.
And, I'm looking for two or three more maybe. So,
will you lobby for Manti Te'o to be drafted to 23rd by your boss?
Yeah, I mean, I would like him on the team. I understand this whole situation is bizarre, and I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it.
You're like, uncomfortable. This
but
is great.
If the due diligence
sweat.
if the due diligence checks out and you know, these guys are satisfied with the answers they hear, you know, according to this whole situation, you know, he's a heck of a player. You know, that speaks for itself. And I understand he's probably going to get made fun of in locker rooms right when he comes in. But you know what, though? That's going to change real quick when he goes out and has, you know, 10 tackles for the first time. So, you know, his biggest thing for Manti will be getting through the period of the draft to week one of the season when he can start contributing in a meaningful way and basically shut all of his teammates up.
But and not even teammates. It's going to be the other team's going to show up on field.
Oh, no. Hold on. Hold on.
Ripping him on.
Hold on. Trash talking. Everybody's tired. You know, that's really not meaningful. The worst ribbing that you take is from the guys in your own locker room.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Hey, Rick, seriously, on
tape. Does that affect your performance when guys trash talk on the field?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I just go into a shell. I start crying.
Stop it, you meanie.
Yeah.
Seriously, on Teo, if you obviously look at the equity of what he did at Notre Dame, but then again, in the biggest game of his life against Alabama's kind of pro-like offensive line, with all due respect to his alma mater, John's alma mater, he got absolutely handled in the first half of that game. How much does that game factor into the handicapping of Manti Te'o?
You have to look at the big picture. You don't just look at one particular game, and I'm sure he's going to be addressed, you know, why he played not as well in that game as he had in previous games. Mm-hmm. Was it because a lot of times you have to remember these kids, after their season, that are up for awards, are out on the banquet circuit.
Yeah.
I know the coaches do a great job of trying to get them prepared, especially for such a game of that magnitude. But for some reason, he didn't perform as well. Was it the things that were going on the off with all the social media stuff when that was all coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Or he knew about it? So no one knows the answer to those questions yet, but you know, we're sure in the heck going to try to dig into a lot of those issues as we go forward.
Several people on Twitter asking me to ask you about Greg Childs and whether or not he's still got, you know, a pathway to be an NFL player, or if this is just too many injuries in too short a time. And, you know, nice kid and we want him to succeed. It's a nice story and all, but just the injuries are too much.
You know, Greg has worked extremely hard in his rehab, and the training camp that he was having last year and how he was coming along, we were very excited and thought, you know, we got a steal in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Because he's much more talented than a fourth round pick.
Right.
It was a shame to have the injury that he had. I know it's odds are stacked against him, but seeing him down in a training room every day and working the way he's working, if anyone can come back from that significant of an injury and the mindset and the attitude that he has right now,
mm-hmm.
You know, we expect him to go out there and see, but that's all going to be determined once we, you know, get closer to training camp.
Okay, Rick has to go. He's very important. He's the architect of life-changing
dreams. I kind of want to stay and listen to what else Sully has to say. This is kind of interesting.
Yeah. We love that. We're getting the patented Bob Hagen rap, so we get a couple of quickies here for the general manager to close. Paul, you go first.
I'm totally serious about this. John's a very smart guy. He wants to someday be a GM. Are you willing to start a mentorship program for a player on the team right now so that when his playing days ends, he's got a pathway to someday become an assistant GM or someday become a player personnel guy like yourself?
Absolutely not. John has so much. Right now, his main focus should be getting us to the Super Bowl and leading that offensive line, he's one of the leaders on our team, mm-hmm. and he has a lot of other more important things right now in his career than worrying about something that may happen after his career.
John, right. Do you have a football-related media-type question for the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Spielman?
No, not if I want to keep my job. You know, I can understand where that question comes from, because the NFL does focus a lot on positive, you know, career transitions,
yes.
guys that make it out of the NFL.
Yes.
However, from a player's perspective, I can see how there would be an enormous conflict of interest if you were privy to any information that he may have about personnel decisions, grades that guys have, you know, how the team sees you. So
I could share just a quick chat with you on that. When I was working just as a scout with the Detroit Lions, and my brother was playing there at the time, I was not privy to those meetings because of the relationship with my brother. So our Lions personnel meetings and potentially I stayed on the college side of it, and literally, which was good to stay out of those conversations just because of the conflict of interest.
Was Chris a middle linebacker?
Yes.
What if somebody told you, we need you to go out and find the best middle linebacker in the country for the draft, and the one that would be replaced is your brother? That'd be awful.
Well, basically, back in those days, I was the Combine Scout, so I was really honed in on my area down in the Southeast.
Save some time for us at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, okay?
We'll talk
definitely
in 2 weeks.
Do that.
Thanks for the conversation.
So
Rick,
this cost me about $500,000 in bonus or whatever the hell
exactly
your bonus is.
There you go.
And he's got
that.
A job now that I got to make a seat for him coming
job
up in our draft meetings on Monday.
That's right.
Yeah, I couldn't get you to talk about the receiver to the East, so I saved you $250 there. Now, the $250. The $250 you're going to give John for the money he got ripped off by not going to the Pro Bowl, I think we got you for a half million.
I had to take a pay cut in order to get John Sullivan signed.
Thank you, Rick.
I always love that one.
Rick leaves. John Sullivan, center for the Minnesota Vikings, stays. It's 10 o'clock. This is 9 to noon.